Welcome to the house of God. So good to see the house full, and yeah, this is the place to be. So while we're heading into springtime, we're entering a new season, and it's called and a new message, a series that's called "We the Church." We the Church. Before we continue, please bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's ask God's blessing on the word today. Thank you, Father, for every ear here, every heart here, and for truth that sets people free. Help us to hear truth that sets us free. We ask blessing on this message, not just to hear it with our minds, but to hear it right deep in our heart. Let it translate right to our feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the series is called We the Church, and today I'm going to talk about relational power. Relational power. I say this, when it comes to church, we need to be radical. Let's say that again. When it comes to church, we need to be radical. Yeah. Amen? And, you know, I believe that there's a great need to go back to radical discipleship, to the way the church was actually designed and meant to be. That word radical, it comes from the Greek word radikalos. And that word radikalos means rooted. Radical is known in our culture as being above the ordinary or extreme. Well, radical does not mean fanatical. It originally referred to the root, literally of the root. It means from the roots, rooted in the religion. Rooted in the original. Okay, help me, Lord. Okay. So whenever something over time has diluted, digressed, or deviated, that's when we need to go back to the original, right? Back to the first century, back to the Creator, right? You know, as a church, we recognize this as well. So as a church, we need to go back. We need to go back and talk about who we are and where we are going as a church. In other words, back to the basics, back to Jesus, you know, back to His church, right? We, the church. Karen and I, we have this statement. We say the purpose of the church is the kingdom. Our purpose is the kingdom, right? The kingdom is our purpose. But the vehicle to advance and to drive that purpose is the church, the church. And I believe that every church, every local church needs to have a vision and a mission that's clear, it's concise, that everybody can buy into and agree with. Because without a vision, the Bible tells us we'll end up going nowhere. We perish without a vision. And without a mission, we'll end up doing very little or nothing as a body of Christ. And City Light Church, we have a mission, a vision and a mission statement. Here's our vision. Our vision is reaching people for Jesus Christ. One person at a time. Originally, when we first designed it, we had just five words. Reaching people for Jesus. Well, that's kind of generic. It's like saying, reaching the world for Jesus. That's too daunting. But if we add that last part, the last five words, just one person at a time, that is doable. Would you agree with that? All of us can reach one person for Jesus, right? Within our lifetime. This year, right? We can all do that. So that's our vision. And it's just 10 words, easy to memorize. Our mission statement is this, making biblical disciples through relational environments, small groups. It's all about relationship, right? And that's just 6 words. Our mission statement can be, so when somebody asks you, what church are you from? Or what local church do you belong to? You can say City Light. And they might ask you, so what's City Light's vision and a mission? You should be able to tell them. I want you to memorize these statements because they're very powerful. This month we're talking all about our core values, and Dave did a great job introducing that last week. And so core values are so important because core values are our fundamental beliefs. They're our fundamental beliefs, and they determine the goals of our church. We have 5 main core values: bridging the culture, which is, you know, we came out of the culture. We came out of unbelief, came out of the world, came out of the culture. God brought us into the church, the place of light. Well, now God wants to send us back into the culture, to bring the culture into the church, amen? To get born again, to receive Christ. So, bridging the culture because everybody needs Jesus. Second one, living in authentic relationships because everybody needs a home. Nobody becomes a believer and just gets disconnected and stays disconnected from the church. Church is the family of God. Here's the third one, empowering potential. Every single one of you has potential, something that you can contribute. The fourth one, driven by compassion. Compassion is the driving force of Jesus' ministry. It should be our ministry too as well. And the last one is to be a church for generations. For generations, all kinds of people, young, old, and everybody in between. And also for all ethnicities, all cultures, all just like the church in heaven. Amen? So these describe the core of who we are and where we are going. And these are values, I say, that we are willing to live for and even willing to die for is what matters most. And these serve as a guide, an unwavering guide to keep us on the right track. And they help to dictate our behavior and determine our culture, which we want to be by design and not by default. Today, I'm talking about living in authentic relationships. I'm talking about relational power. Everything is better in relationships. Do you agree with that? Everything is better in relationships. God made us for relationships. You know, and anyone who accomplished anything great or impacting has a story of someone who helped them get there. Do you believe that? You know, I think about the people that God put in our lives, in our journey, as pastors of City Light. You know, I think of people who have been with us way back there. You know, I think of the Grangers. I mean, Brendan and Amy and their family, they've been with us decades. Well, not quite decades, but a long time. I think of the Clausens. You know, I think about individuals like Kim Hankey or Kathy Kelly. You know, these are important people. You know, I think about the Sharings, how long they've been. And so I can go on and on, including you. You know, these are people that God literally put on our path. And because we need their expertise, we need their encouragement, and listen, we need their friendship. We need their friendship because we can't do this alone. You know, we need authentic friendships. Authentic friendships. Here's the definition of authentic. Authentic friendships are real or genuine, not copied or false, true and accurate. We need genuine friendships, free from pretense, sincere, free from hypocrisy. Today I'm going to talk about relationships in maybe a different way than that you might think about relationships, because I want to raise your relational IQ. I want your understanding of why we need relationships. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Why do we need relationships? Because two people are better off than one. Just makes sense, right? So they can help each other succeed. See that word with me. Succeed. Succeed. Now, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. What's the writer saying? He's saying two are better than one. And he's giving us sort of like word pictures here. He's saying that if you're alone and you're attacked, man, you're in trouble. You're done. But two and two, two people standing back to back can defend and can overcome by saying, no, I'm with you. I've got your back. I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you. Listen, we really are better together. Agreed? Listen, when we become Christ followers, the first thing that we need to establish is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Establish a relationship with Him, right? But beyond that, but then His plan goes further than that. His plan for us is also to begin relationship with each other. With each other. Even in that sinless, perfect environment, God still said to Adam, it is not good for mankind to be alone. So that's why we gather together. So the question is, why do we gather? Why do we need to be in church? Why do we need to be in authentic, connected relationships in the church? Why does it matter so much for God? Well, we can say, you know, and there's obvious reasons. So we could worship together. And that's right. Worship is so much more. That was great worship this morning to be in the house. I heard everybody just singing out. It's so good to worship God. And so we could, you know, and we come to church so we can pray with each other, and which is so good. But there's even more than that that we need to understand about just coming to church and being part of a worship service. The question is, so why does God want us together? So let's look below the surface. I want to give you three big reasons why we gather. Here's the first one on your screen. Success. We need each other to succeed. Wherever you are in life, whatever you're dealing with right now, God does not want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. Healthy marriage, healthy body, healthy flourishing ministry, prosperous business. That's God's plan. Isn't that God's plan for your life? God's plan for your life is for you to succeed, to experience success. And that's one of the biggest reasons why God called us to be together. Because he knew that with each other, we can succeed. We can help each other to succeed. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they can help each other succeed. Which is why God rewards those people who have and serve the interests of other people. You know, the more helpful, the more ways that we serve, the greater success that we will experience. You know, that's just the way it operates. That's the way God created the world that we live in. The more we help others, the more we're concerned about other people, the more we get helped, the more we experience. It all comes back to us. Question. Have you ever entered a situation where you met someone who really needed encouragement? You know, that person's there and he's just so down. He really needs someone to comfort them. And so you begin to listen to their story. And as you listen to their story, you're standing, you're not saying anything, but you're listening to their story. But as you're listening to their story, the Holy Spirit begins to kick in. And then you start saying things that encourage them, that comfort them, that build them up. And then you walk away, that person has been blessed, and then you walk away and encouraged yourself. What happened? Here's what happened. While you were trying to encourage someone else, you got encouraged in the process yourself. Amen? Two married couples get together, and one of the couples is really struggling in their marriage. And they confess to the other couple, our marriage is in trouble. We're having struggles. We got problems. And this is where we're at. And this couple that is listening is saying, hey, listen. I know what you're talking about. We've been there. You know, we've had the same problems. Here's what we did. And they start to encourage the other couple. And while they're doing that, they walk away from that situation and they feel even better about their marriage because while they were trying to bless others, they got blessed in the process. They were active in serving the interests of others. And this is a huge reason why we need together. A big reason why God calls us to do life together. Philippians 2 verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. 1 Corinthians 10, 20, 33. Just as I please everyone in all things, as much as possible, adapting myself to the interests of others, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they may be open to the message of salvation and may be saved. Great scriptures on your screen. I believe this is so true. Success in life is a byproduct of relationships where people help others succeed. So good, isn't it? You know, I think this is the reason why some people don't experience more success, because they're not helping others to succeed. Some people get so caught up in their small world, of me, myself, and I, don't they? And they internalize, they're always internally, internalizing this thought that life is all about me, right? And that's the reason why those people enjoy very little success in their life. I love Proverbs 11:24. I think this is the Message version. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Wow, what a powerful scripture. You know, the retail industry realizes this. You know, you walk through a big box store like Walmart. You notice like there's less attendants around to help you. As you're just wandering like, yeah, I need to pick up this and up in that department. Or even Canadian Tire. Like I walked into Canadian Tire with a couple of weeks ago with three items. I thought, man, I don't even know where they are. I'm just standing there. You know, and you know the four things that people most need to hear in that situation? You know what those four words are? Can I help you? Can I help you? Isn't that right? I told the attendant, man, you just saved me an hour. He just told me, you find in this aisle, you go over there, okay. Can I help you? And I believe that if you want to live a God-blessed life, then you need to learn to say those words. If you're going to live a God-blessed life, learn to say those four words. When you help others succeed, the greater success you will experience in your life. It's like one writer said, you will be wildly successful if you are passionately involved in helping others to succeed. I think every highly successful person realizes this, that this is the key, not just to obtaining success, but to sustaining success in their life. So the question is, why do we gather? Big reason, to help others succeed. Second one, number two, why authentic relationships? Number two, for safety. Safety from deception, discomfort, and defeat. Listen, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he's not a figment of your or someone else's imagination. He's not a comic book hero. And Jesus called him the thief. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. So Satan comes. Satan comes with plans to destroy you. God comes with plans to bless you. Amen? Satan works his plan for your life through people. God works his plan for your life through people. Amen? Satan doesn't announce his plan to people. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And he often speaks to the voice of other people. And he can even speak to the voice of a friend. He can mislead you. Kevin Jarrell, in his book called Mind Monsters, wrote these words. There are fatal attractions and there are favor attractions. And he goes on, talks about Samson. Every Samson has a Delilah disguised as a friend or lover. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 16, one day Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he asks them this question. Who does everyone think I am? Who do you think I am? Who does everyone say I am? And they say, well, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then he said, but okay, now who do you think I am? And they're basically silent, except for Peter. Peter pipes up, well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well done, Simon. He says, you didn't get that from men. You got that right from the Father. You got that by the Holy Spirit. And Peter's so excited at that point. He says, I tell you, you're not Simon. You're going to be Peter. You're going to be the rock on which I build my church, and the gates of hell will not come against it. Peter's been really good at that point, isn't he? So you keep reading to the end of the chapter, and Jesus is telling all the disciples, listen, you know, in a few days I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to bury me, but 3 days I'm going to rise from the grave. And what does Peter say? No! He drags the Lord aside. He says, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan! Right? Wow! How'd you feel at that point? right? So what was Jesus doing? Was he rebuking Peter? No, Jesus was experiencing the voice of Satan through Peter, his friend and his disciple. So what was he doing? Was he talking to Peter? No, he was talking to the voice that was speaking through Peter, the voice of the enemy. You know, I believe that voices can come into our lives, and they often come through the thoughts, through the suggestions and the opinions of other people, even the counsel of other people. And we have to ask God for discernment. And a good prayer is, God, give me discernment to hear your voice above all the other voices. I heard the story about this incredible lion, and his name was Cecil. Cecil the lion. He was in a sanctuary in a national park in Zimbabwe. And everybody came to see Cecil, an extraordinarily beautiful lion. Well, one day, this was in 2015, somebody dragged a carcass of a dead animal in front of the gates. Cecil caught that scent, went out of the gates, followed that scent, and hunters came. They cut off his head, skinned him, and left nothing but a carcass and a collar. Lured out of the place of safety. And I believe that, you know, some people can get lured out of safe places by hearing and listening and following the wrong voices. And you know, I want to tell you as a pastor, how many times have I heard that happen? Oh, God told me to move. God told me that I could marry this person because we weren't getting along, and God wants to bless me. He wants me to be happy. I'm thinking, wow. And so they're convinced that they've heard the voice of God. They heard nothing but the voice of the enemy. You know, you think about the Old Testament. Old Testament time, they used to have these cities called cities of refuge. So when you're in trouble, you could go to find a city of refuge where you can find safety and comfort. You could be cared for. You know, I want to tell you, the local church is God's place of safety. The local church is God's place of safety. You know, I believe that Satan will use voices to influence you, and there are people all around us giving us opinions. Someone said, even the smartest person can give you the worst advice, right? You know, it's not a matter of how high an IQ that has someone else or how many degrees they have after them, right? You know, I knew of a lady, she was a counselor, counseling people in marriage, and her marriage was a wreck. Right? They talk about marriage. How many hundreds of books are written on marriage by people who are actually in their second or third divorce, right? You know, so I believe this is the very reason why God intersects and he puts people into our life so that we could know his plan for our life, his will, right? So for safety. Number three, last one. Why authentic relationships? For strength. To become stronger in God's purposes for our life. And listen, we all have strengths and weaknesses, don't we? Right? You know, you can look at people, they seem to be movers and they're shakers and they're successful and they're doing great things. But listen, no one is exempt from fears, challenges, and battles. Right? We all have them. On your screen, the people we do life with, the people we do life with will determine to a large degree whether we will live from our weaknesses or from our strengths. Absolutely. So true, isn't it? Yeah. So much depends upon who you're connecting with on a regular basis. Let me give you an example. I love French fries. I love pizzas, right? Yeah. I love Chinese food. Yeah. Yeah. I love donuts. Yeah. I love anything that's deep fried. Amen? But my wife does not. What a party pooper she is, right? Let me tell you, I could literally be a junk food junkie. I also love cheesies. I love nacho chips. I love and dip. I mean, I love all these things. I love cherry strudels. I love them. And I want Karen to buy them for me when it's 15% off at Save On, right? But what does Karen say? Nope, not in our house. Not in our house. Listen. She helps me to be strong. I'd be a mess right now. Amen. Give my wife a hand. I say this, if you live with people who are healthy, who love exercise, who eat healthy, and who love Jesus, and they come alongside of you, and you come alongside of them, if that happens, they will help you to live your life, not from your weaknesses, but from your strengths. We need those type of people. A good example in the Bible, talk about three guys in the Bible. Three guys that were sent into a furnace of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who gave each other strength and support and courage. Question, what would have happened to them if it had not been for the three, for the we? What would have happened? What would have happened to them if he had not had the strength from just being with each other? What would have happened to them if they had not been around peers who were determined to make their lives matter, to make an impact, amen, and to stand up for Jesus? What would have happened to them? Now, how different their story would have been if they'd have just been alone and not with each other? Good question. How about your life? How about your life? How will your story end? You take the relationships, take all the relationships that you have with God's people, take them out of your life. How will your story end? How will your story end? We have an enemy, and he is smart, and he is cunning, and we are in a spiritual warfare. And that's why we gather. That's why we gather for success, for safety, and for strength. You just cannot make it on your own. You've been put into a family of people who care for you, right? Some of the strengths they have, you don't have. And some of their experiences and battles that they've gone through, you're in the same place and you need their help and encouragement. I'll finish with this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Can you imagine, picture that? A stone foundation, a stone wall, and you're one of the stones, and you're embedded amongst all these other stones, and you're sealed in by the mortar of God's love and your commitment, and you are locked into that place. And that's a picture of God's house. It's pretty hard to get you out if you have these relationships. He's talking about relationships here. On your screen, we need three types of relationships. Three types. Number one, those who are mentoring us. Those who are above us. Number two, those who are close friends. Those who are beside us. And number three, those whom we are mentoring. Those who are below us. And I tell you, you have these relationships in your life, the devil will never displace you. You are locked in for life. Amen? Next screen. Relationships, they have to be built. You got to work at them. You got to protect them, right? You know, and you have a relationship. You're gonna have a disagreement with a good friend, and you got to work at it. You got to use the principles of God of forgiving, and loving and healing. Amen. You know, you have to build relationships. Somebody said, "Well, I went to church and nobody wanted to be my friend." What? Come on, get out of there. Be someone else's friend. Hey, say, hey, can I help you? Hey, who are you? I'm so-and-so. I mean, it's so obvious, isn't it? Relationships have to be built. Second, relationships need to be authentic. There's so much superficiality in the body of Christ. Listen, you know, sometimes it's better to be a small church, right? Because then you can connect more. But once you start to get bigger and bigger, you can lose that sense of closeness. That's why we say we can be a big church we can be a big church and still have intimacy through small groups. That's why we do small groups. Yeah. You know, that's why we have connections and relationships. It's one of the big reasons. Well, I just had a pop-up on my screen. How is that? I'm off my internet. Hold on a second. It's covering my whole screen here. There we go. All right. So we said the relationships have to be built. Relations have to be authentic. And here's another one. Relationships need to be for a lifetime. The relationships, we need to literally take them to heaven. Take them. I see relationships, you know, people just kind of move on. You know, just keep on moving on from one relationship to another. I believe that sometimes God does end some relationships, and I won't want to go into that, but, you know, we just need to always surround us with people who love, care, and help to protect us. Amen? And I believe these are relationships, most relationships that we have are meant to be taken to heaven. And it's so important. You know, it's about covenant. You know, the cross is a sign of covenant. It's a covenant we make with God, but it's also a covenant with other people. When you join a court, a church, you're part of the family. You sign spiritually a covenant. When you come to Growth Track, you're going to make a covenant. Amen? And once you lock in, you become a part of that family. And not only do you receive, but you also give. It's a reciprocal thing. We, the church, we have relational power. Can you say after me these words? Together, we are greater, we are safer, we are stronger, we are better together. Amen. 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 Bow your heads. Yeah. Bow your heads. Please agree with me. Lord Jesus, may I truly understand that I am fearfully and wonderfully created, that I am here on this planet for a purpose and a destiny to make a difference in my life, that I'm part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of the church and a part of this house. I'm a team member who serves others in the house of God. I'm a team member who uses my gifts to serve one another and to reach the world for Jesus Christ. I declare all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Okay, once again, just bow your heads, close your eyes, just for another minute. I want us to say this. Maybe you're here today and you have never personally invited Jesus into your heart. You know about Jesus. You've been in church even. Maybe you're trying to serve God by following his commands, but you don't have this supernatural thing called a relationship to Jesus Christ. You can have that today. You can have a new life, a new start in your life by receiving Christ into your heart today. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want you, if that's you, you need Jesus. You need a new beginning. You need a start. A new start. You can say these words, and God will grant you the gift of eternal life. And when you leave this earth, you will be right in heaven with God and God's people. If that's you, say these words after me. Say them with all your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you shed your blood and you paid for my sins when you bled on the cross. And I also believe that you rose from the death and you're alive today. Today, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that for the first time, could you raise your hand and just wave it high? Anyone here? Receive Jesus Christ. See your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Greatest decision you will ever make in your life is to receive Jesus. Okay? You said that prayer. I want, right after the service, could you go back to the connections kiosk? There's a desk there. We want to tell you what your next steps in following God, step of faith will be. If you watched online, press that hand. We'll connect you to as well. Amen. 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 What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus, for the goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the house. Thank you for safety. Thank you for success. Thank you for strength that we get from one another. In Jesus' name.